Lines are open. You can reach us toll-free if you're calling from outside the Denver metro calling area. Our number is 877-424-4111, 877-424-4111. Inside the Denver metro calling area, 303-423-0188. That's 303-423-0188. Now today, what we're doing is I'm interviewing Indira Singh. She has been a guest on my program before. As you well know, she has testified before a lot of committees and hearings on the 9/11 business, and she made her entree into this movement, the 9/11 Truth Movement, based upon something job related that she discovered. This company, PTEC. Indira, welcome back to the program. 9/11 has also touched you in a very personal way.
Yes, it has.
You lived not far from the Trade Center.
That's correct. I lived and worked within line of sight of the World Trade Center and responded as a volunteer EMT that morning. I was going to work, had a suit on, and changed clothes and, went down there. And was injured in a number of ways over the next couple of days. And it's something that I've learned to put behind me, because in order to focus on this, I cannot focus on the personal devastation. I will tell you, however, that terror, when we pull back and we talk about the globalization and the economy of terror, I can speak firsthand about what it does to a human being, to someone who's relatively got their wits about them, well-educated, and has a good heart.
Mm-hmm.
Having gone through that process, I'm here to tell you that this needs to be stopped at all costs, because once you are touched by a terrorist event, it changes you in a fundamental way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's where people need to really, too many people, I think, don't contemplate the long-range implications of these massive trends in our society. I mean, 9/11 has changed forever, I think, the face of a lot of things in this country. And, of course, it was the manufacturing of terror and fear on the part of the federal government that they got Congress to literally just roll over and shred the Constitution.
That's correct. I would like to say something that connects with what your previous caller had brought up, and
yeah,
put this in context, which I promised you I would do. And Leon, I believe your caller,
right,
mentioned Hastert, and referred to my mentioning of Republican House Speaker Dennis Hastert. And really what was revealed about him is that he's an elected official with Bin Laden connected. He's connected with Bin Laden connected Turkish nationals. And that goes right back to Yasin Kadi and PTEC.
Yeah.
And they claimed he had him on his payroll and sent bribes and illicit campaign contributions to him to pull a House resolution on Armenian genocide. Now, genocide is another tool of the terror economy.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the interesting things that I found with all of these people, the Richard Pearls, the Elliot Abrams, the Bill Kristols, the Wolfowitz, the Michael Ledeens, all these names, James Woolsey, the Dick Cheneys, the Donald Rumsfelds, and all of these names that come up and are, involved with such scams and scandals that we can't get them for. The interesting thing about them is that they are all members of something called the American Enterprise Institute, and the American Enterprise Institute is responsible, is a very big player,
mm-hmm,
in something called, that was reconvened last year, called the Committee on the Present Danger. I bet you most Americans do not know that the Committee on the Present Danger was convened only twice in our nation's history. One, to pull the McCarthy terrors on this nation, and the other one after 1976. So it was in 1976, when the Church Committee, resoundingly tried to stop the rogue operations of the CIA,
mm-hmm,
or the coming, they saw that. So the next time that they were reconvened was right after 9/11, with the same cast, the same bloodline, the same, bloodline. And I think that what we're looking at is a 1-2-3 strike in a 50-year period of time, where each time we are moved deeper, ushered deeper into this age of terror.
Mm-hmm. Third one's the charm, as they say, right?
That's it. And what are we going to do now? When I found out that Ladeen holds the Freedom Chair with the Committee on the Present Danger, and Jack Kemp and DeLay and all of these guys are on it, the whole Iran-Contra Corps group of ghouls, as I put it, are on it, then I realized that, you know, you don't, you know, your other speaker the other day, Jim Rothstein, was quite correct when he said, you know, when it goes up to the top, you're only going to come into maybe 40, 50, he says. I come across 200 people, but that's where they hang out.
But it's a small group of people that are really running the show, the puppeteers.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Let's go to phones. Let's go to Dan in Longmont. Good afternoon, Dan. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Dan in Longmont.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to say I appreciate your show today, and it struck a chord with me when I was listening to Ms. Singh talk about HCA.
Okay.
I worked for HCA from 86 to 97, and as a direct report for one of their VPs.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, I was kind of on the front lines of a lot of the things she was talking about. It didn't occur to me to years later what happened. They merged with Columbia Healthcare, which was run by Richard Scott, a lawyer with no experience in healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Frist, who was the CEO, sold all of his stock there and became an advisor for Richard Scott, to the best of my knowledge. I mean, I don't know his exact position. Richard Scott ran that company into the ground. It was investigated by the FBI. They raided our hospitals. The stock went to nothing. So he got out before the stock went down. Richard Scott was removed later on by the board of directors.
Uh-huh.
Thomas Frist went back in.
Uh-huh.
As the CEO, the stock went up.
Yeah.
He is there as the CEO now. Richard Scott went on to Florida to run some company, which again got investigated by the FBI. And I was there. I was a recipient of some internal communications from one of their field agents who was in charge of acquisitions. I'm not going to mention any names, of course.
That's
and
fine.
What I read there just, I mean, chilled me to the bone, the tactics these people used, basically blackmailing physicians to take over their practices.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that was all laid out in the FBI charges and everything. But, I mean, I had to leave in 97. I mean, I was so disillusioned.
Yeah.
I just couldn't stay anymore. But there, it didn't strike me until later on, but I have to say that, I mean, these people did this with advanced knowledge. They knew what was going on, and they made a fortune out of it.
Yeah, they did. And see, Dan, what happens here? And, in my deep research, in the years I've been doing the deep research, I see, like Indira talks about, there are patterns here. They recur. And they use the same tactics, the way that they eluded the SNLs, the way that they are taking down the financial institutions. Is very, very what we're seeing now with the corporate raids, okay? You know, you had the SNLs in the 80s, and you have corporate raids in the 90s, and, of course, you know, we're still seeing the fallout come out of that stuff. But, again, the same group of characters that keep popping up in the rogue gallery are the same ones. They're just recycled through on and on and on. And as a result of this, and, I'll tell you, I don't think anybody, I know that the only one that ever came close to really trying to tag a monetary or a dollar amount to this scam was Pete Bruton several years ago when he wrote the CIA, George Bush, and the conspiracy of something. I can't remember the exact title of the book. But Bruton had completely gone inside and literally, kind of threw up on the boards these links, these financial links, and how all these same guys circulated around and continued to just take and loot the money. Bogus loans, all kinds of things. Clinton's the same way. I mean, they were all doing this. And I'll tell you another good book that you should read is a book by Terry Reed called Compromised, which goes very much in depth into the inner machinations and the inner workings of the Iran-Contra affair. And again, I am appalled at the people of this country, holding guys like Oliver North up as a hero. There is no, in my mind, there is never any justification to ever, ever, ever get involved in human experimentation or experimenting on unwitting, unwilling participants in their heinous experiments. There is no justification to flood the streets and corrupt our children with cocaine and heroin and all that stuff. And, Gary Webb, Dark Alliance, Gary Webb, who recently supposedly committed suicide, blew the whistle on all of this, and we still see business as usual.
Well, he didn't commit suicide, and that's been confirmed by a number of people, including DEA agents, and it was a mob hit, and, you know, everyone knows it, and they're, but of course, they're playing it for whatever. Speaking of Pete Bruton, he went as far as he could in that book. I mean, he was not allowed to continue the connections to Khashoggi, to First National Bank of Chicago, to Khashoggi and Bin Mahfood and Khalid Abdullah and Texas Commerce Bank Share. This has been going on, which would have, if he had gotten that in his book, the Bush family, that part of it would have never been able to reach the level it has. But going back to Frist and Rainwater, Richard Rainwater was the money behind Columbia Healthcare, and they pulled, that is, that when we see that that sort of pump and dump scheme, a very very sophisticated pump and dump scheme that's protected at the highest level, we know we are going to come in across the same names, including we haven't even gotten into Mischer and Modisette and Buck Ravel, who plays law enforcement, terrorism law enforcement, meaning for the terrorists.
Yeah.
And, the asset, John Meekum, he was an Iran-Contra asset. Tony Coelho and all of these names in Texas and beyond.
The Dixie Mafia, if you will. Yeah.
The Dixie Mafia.
Yeah.
And its extensions to Louisiana and Florida that involve, Jeb Bush's shenanigans and so on. So their methods are to terrorize people and to warn people, and they have, when they use the children, they've crossed the line there and then some, but they're apparently people are getting, people will still look the other way. What's next?
Yeah. Dan, you have anything else you want to add to this?
Well, I have one short comment. I mean, I was raised in Nashville. You know, my family's been there since the founding of Nashville, and of course I know many of the people there. They think that these guys are just good old Southern boys that just happen to be businessmen.
Yeah.
But I have one thing to say: they are, on the outside, they appear gregarious,
benevolent,
good old guys.
Yeah.
They are ruthless.
They are ruthless.
Absolutely.
And they're very dangerous and they're very evil.
And thank you very much for allowing me to be on.
All right, Dan. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Now, Indira, I know we're going to be running out of time here with you. I want to touch on a couple of more things I want to get in here before you have to go. And one of these things I want to touch on is the rumors that were flying around Dick Broken Cheney and his money laundering bribery scheme in France. It's interesting to note that as that rumor started to raise its ugly head, our own governor, Governor Bill Owens here in Colorado, was on the short list of vice presidential appointees.
That's
and it's kind of interesting how during that same time frame, our governor apparently traded his briefcase for a diaper bag. Okay, really, seriously. Because that nixed any chance that he would have had this thing have gone forward. But what I found really interesting is this thing raised its head in France, and then it just kind of like dissolved and went away. Let's talk real quick about that, because what was at the heart of that matter in France? What was that all about with Dick Cheney?
They want to indict him, back then and now, for money laundering, bribery, and misuse of corporate assets to the tune of $6 billion. And at the heart of it is an LNG, a liquefaction factory in Nigeria, built by Halliburton, and with a French company called Technip, which has another sordid history.
Mm-hmm.
The bribes were, here's the interesting thing, the money that came in to the GOP to do all of this and fix the elections and everything, a significant amount of money, was the stream of money that came in via Cheney was ladled out, they say, between 95 and 2000 when Cheney was Halliburton's CEO. And these, as they put it, retro commissions found their way back into the GOP funds they are claiming. And what they're stunned by is that America's media has not even looked into that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I look at things like, looting money and looting children, there's got to be a difference. I mean, billions of money looted, fine, okay? But when you start looting your own country's children, maybe America deserves the age of terror government that it's that is coming down the pipe, but I sure hope not.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go real quick to Terry in Littleton. Good afternoon, Terry. You're on the air.
Thank you. Another great program, Ms. Singh. Thank you for what you're doing. I can see you do it at considerable risk. My question is, on that Supreme Court nominee, it seemed to me, too, that she was not ever meant to be there. But what do you think the real ulterior motive was? It just to placate the conservative Christians who said you're going to put a conservative on? Or what was the big ruse with that, and what do you think is going to happen next? What their really game plan is, what they're doing with the Supreme Court?
That was designed to keep us busy and to see who knew what. I still think it was to see whether there were any holes that would lead back to anything about George Bush, whether anybody, you know, whether Myers sort of covering the tracks of George Bush and his criminal shenanigans, personal criminal shenanigans.
And did they discover that the people did know there were holes with Myers?
And the other thing was to keep everyone busy, you know, screaming and yelling, creating a lot of media blitz about it, covering up the fact that there were some more serious issues going on, serious indictments. The one into Cheney is extremely serious because this is international. They can come get him, basically. And they can and will shut down this criminal cabal if they had a chance.
Oh, you don't think that the international, I thought they were well-placed internationally, that they have choke points there that they would stop something like that happening?
No, because as far as we can tell, there's Chinese involvement in it. There's Italian involvement in it. We can't get a good fix of who the elements are in other countries, and at least I can't. I know others have, but the French, if they can pull off this indictment with Cheney, they'll do serious damage to the whole cabal. And America needs to understand that and work with them.
Yeah, and see, one thing, Terry, that I can add to this is this, okay, that, you know, you have this global cabal that is that's overseeing a lot of different things. But within their ranks, there's a lot of backbiting, backstabbing, power grabs, and that kind of thing. And I think that what we see here playing out on the world stage is how these dynamics are all working, together. Even though they might be in opposition to one another, they're working together to ultimately lead us into this age of terror, as Indira is talking about. So it serves a bigger picture down the road. You know what I'm saying?
Given the information that you have missing on or what they think they have on Cheney, what do you think the odds are percentage-wise that anything will ever come about on that?
Let me put it to you this way. If we do, if everyone works together and comes real close to closing them down, you will see the mother of all terrorist attacks.
Yes, I believe that. Last question. What do you see coming down then now for the next Supreme Court nominee? Is that something that's going to be in their pocket again? They're going to place somebody there again, or
you can take that to the bank? Absolutely.
Do you have any insight, Indira, who it might be? I'm thinking Alberto Gonzalez is still a good possibility.
If they put him in, we're all in deep trouble.
Oh, yeah.
I think they know enough not to put him forward because we've got enough information on him that we can, you know, close that down. But they will get another person that plays their game.
Okay. All right. Very good. Terry?
Thank you so much again. And, you know, I don't mean to bring the Bible in there, but, you know, there's a story in there about Esther. She came into the kingdom for such a time as this. You were placed into some high positions for a really important cause, and I really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you so much for that comment.
Yeah, Terry, thank you very much, okay?
Bye.
You take care. Bye-bye. And, Darren, we've got about 6 minutes, and I want to do this. I want to touch on the investigation. And, of course, folks, again, keep in mind that Indira's investigation into 9/11 has led to her to California, where there are some very interesting things going on there. I think we touched on it last week when we brought Peter Chernoff on the air. We were talking about, you know, some very, very strange, indeed strange things. But it sounded familiar to the Omaha, Nebraska scandal. Indira, what can you share with us in about 4 or 5 minutes? What's going on with that?
Well, Peter is back in jail again. As you know, we're trying to get him some significant legal help. Some of the information he gave us is extremely volatile. And we've done some tracking, and it leads us right back to Dallas, Texas. And it's very troubling, and I think at this point, since they have him, we don't want to say too much more on the air because his life's in danger where it is. But I am satisfied that what he has given us is it leads back to the same names that it would have been no way for him to know about it back in the period of time that it was happening to him.
Right, right.
Right. In other words, what's panned out in the next 20 years has sort of proven his point.
Yeah.
You know, but we can't mention those names. He's in too much danger.
And, Indira, one other thing, too, we'll kind of wrap on here is this, okay? We'll wrap on this last question. That is this. What is the bigger picture here? Who is in charge? What do they want? And you know, where is all of this going?
I think we're being tested. They want it, what they want right now is to know how far people will go to fight this. We have one last chance. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are not willing to march en masse, you know, like the people in New Orleans, if they're not willing to march en masse, if we are not willing to, for instance, declare a day of general strike, saying this will stop, the people have the power. One of the things about this transnational cabal is that it has been repeatedly told to me that the U.S. holds the key. The U.S. can stop this. So they're in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to the American people. Either we shut this down by just peaceful, nonviolent demonstrations, or we will not have a second chance, and there will be bloodshed the likes of which this world has never seen.
I tend to agree with you because I've always said, I think in the long run, they would not like to see the infrastructure damaged. But I always have believed that in the event that people don't go along peacefully and cooperate with them, I've always believed that violence was an option on their part. I mean, you know, you mentioned another terrorist attack. Well, we know that we're sitting vulnerable and wide open with our borders, for example, and our president does absolutely nothing to close the borders, at least to get some control over it. And we know that it's not just been Mexicans that have been coming across the border. It's been people in the Triangle of Terror, which represent the radical Islamic fundamentalist group that has connections to PTEC.
That's correct.
You know, the funding and all of that. And what else did you say?
And through PTEC, right back to this criminal cabal.
Right. So, I mean, we're sitting ducks for all of this. And it's amazing to me that the American people are not raising up and crying out loudly that we demand justice. We want this thing stopped. And it goes back to, for example, right here in our locale. They want C&D, referenda C&D passed, which is another one of these huge spending bills. And if we don't, the money is critical here. If we cut the money off, if the American citizens would say, we're not going to pay for this anymore, the game dissolves. That's all it amounts to. You know, money is the root of all of this problem. And until the American people realize that they're financing this, and if it wasn't for them having to, be involved that way, this thing would not have power.
Absolutely. The way we fight back is people do not underestimate the power of 200 million civilians. They cannot fight that.
That's right. Absolutely. We're out of time. Thank you so much for coming on the program. And, of course, we'll be developing more later down the road, okay?
Okay.
All right,
thank
Indira.
You, Michael.
Thank you very much. And we'll be in touch, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, take care. And, again, that was Indira Singh. We're going to take this break. When we come back, we're going to do open lines. Again, our lines are open, 877-424-4111, 877-424-4111. That's a national toll-free number for those of you calling outside the Denver metro area. If you're calling from inside the Denver metro area, 303-423-0188. I'd like to hear your reactions to what you've heard. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to A Closer Look. We'll be right back. And we continue with open lines. Again, I want to thank Indira Singh. She's quite a courageous lady. And she's not, she ranks up there, I think, in a lot of ways with some other heroes in our country who persevere at trying to tie these threads together, bring it to the attention of the American people. And, folks, we've got to do something. You know, I know a lot of you people do not believe the government's official findings, the conclusion on 9/11. And, I appeal to you, in a nonpartisan way. Because I know a lot of you are fond of Bill Clinton. You're a lot of, you've got Democrats and Republicans. I mean, hey, and I know that a lot of you are fond of both sides. But, at the end of the day, when you get down to all of this stuff, and it's undeniable. We know that the Oklahoma City bombing was a terrorist attack. President Clinton connived at and covered it up. We know that George Bush the 41, George H.W. Bush was a bad guy. We know why he perpetrated the Gulf War back in the 90s. It was to bolster and to inject the United Nations into a it was to revive it. Because, you see, the thing is that the globalization plan is well underway. And I think that the key point, the turning point for this nation was the new millennium. Because I have well-placed sources that I've dealt with over the years. And, as bizarre as it may sound, that millennium celebration that took place in Egypt was more than you realize. Because the whole cast of characters were there. And they're on a timetable, and it's critical that they make sure that it takes place, because if it doesn't, they lose their chance. So, with that, let's go to Loveland and Harold in Loveland. Good afternoon, Harold. You're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, Michael. Thank you very much. Your show was excellent, and
thank you.
As usual, very informative. I must say I have to agree with you. We need to have an effective response. I agree with your guest that there now has to be an effective response
right.
when being tested.
Right.
Most people, I know a lot of good people, but they're uninformed, and I know there are certainly those that get the glazed over look. I've received that I don't know how many times, but a lot of people are getting up to speed. They know something's not right, but there has to be an organized, effective response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to say what that should be, like a march or a whatever, how does one get something like that going? I know it has to be organized, but where and how and what to do?
Well, see, and that's a good question, because when it comes down to it, and this is where I think a lot of frustration lies in me, and a lot of other people. And that is, how do you rally the nation to get busy and do this and do what needs to be done? How do you get them to understand that their freedoms are at stake here? How do you get them to understand that when we lose the sovereignty of our nation, the game is up? I mean, we will be no better, no different than all the other third world countries that this cabal has destroyed.
And I must say, Michael, as well, is I think the biggest problem we've got is the media.
Yes.
Because once they have captured the media, all one has to do is look at our local paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's just incredible. It's a joke. And all the papers here locally, they're all controlled. You'd have to be an imbecile not to be able to see it. And yet, when that's all you're used to, you're literally being led down the road, being pulled by your nose, and you don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we get around this? I must say, I don't know.
Now, one of the other things that I think I've been talking about a lot lately on the program is this, okay? First of all, you have to, and I think this has to be grassroots. Of course it has to be grassroots. What you need to do is, and I've talked about this before, it is so vitally important that everybody understand the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and what those things provide for, the deeper meaning behind them, the deeper meaning behind what liberty truly is, okay? The way you do that is you've got to educate your neighbors, your family, and your friends. You have to you get these little booklets, and you pass these booklets out to them, you have conversations, you get groups together, and you talk about this stuff. The idea is this, is that when we stop electing these officials, when we stop passing these pieces of legislation like Referenda C&D, if we take away the money, we take away the power. The power has been consolidated into the hands of a few people because of our ignorance in understanding what our constitutional republic is. You hear even the president calling it a democracy. It is not a democracy. It is a constitutional republic. And the idea behind a constitutional republic is not to have power centralized into a regional government, but having power at the local level where it belongs. And that is what keeps big government in check, and that is what keeps it from becoming what it has become. And it literally is threatening our very way of life and our existence.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call. Okay, and again, you know, this is vitally important to the whole process, is education. Understanding that whenever a politician comes to you, and we're seeing this playing out in referenda C&D. We have a Republican governor who lined up with the Democrats at the state capitol here, and somebody who even just a year before that was praising Tabor. Now all of a sudden we've got a crisis. We need more money. What do you think that money is going to go for? Why do you think that the illegal immigration issue is so important to our president and to all the other legislators? Because it is they're getting their marching orders from the globalists. They're saying to them, look, the time has come that an independent nation is an outdated, archaic model. You need to be interdependent. Well, you know, just even myself, and I'm not an educated man, but I can tell you, just on the surface of things, I'm crying foul, because it just doesn't seem to me that you can make it work. It's not an equitable arrangement. You just can't make it work. And for the life of me, other than, intellectually smart but stupid in knowledge, I can't imagine how educated people who have degrees could even ponder something like this as being successful. And, you know, you add to this mix these other dynamics, okay? Just for example, I've got an article today. It was from the 26th of October. Remote control for human beings being tested. Okay? This is a combination of weird science fiction, and insanity is my opinion about this. The things that these wrecked, twisted minds are coming up with is outrageous. This is in Natsuki, Japan. We wield remote controls to turn things on and off, make them advance, make them halt. Ground-bound pilots use remotes to fly drone airplanes, soldiers to maneuver battlefield robots. But manipulating human beings? Prepare to be remotely controlled. I was. This is the reporter talking. Just imagine being rendered the rough equivalent of a radio-controlled toy car. Nippon Telegraph and Telephone Corporation, Japan's top telephone company, says it is developing the technology to perhaps make video games more realistic, but more sinister applications also come to mind. I can envision it being added to military's arsenals of so-called non-lethal weapons, and I love that word, non-lethal. It's just a ruse. It's an inhumane, dehumanizing way of controlling you. You know, when I see a person, for example, and I don't want to get too far off the track here, but when I see a woman, and this was on a video that I saw recently, when I saw a woman in Pennsylvania being tasered by these big burly cops, and they're telling her to quit resisting arrest, and every time they do that, they're pulling the trigger on the taser, and they're delivering, whatever the amount of voltage it is into her body, she's having convulsions, and they're beating her up because she's resisting arrest. Of course she's moving. That's non-lethal technology. We're being treated like cattle. Now, a special headset was placed on my cranium by my host during a recent demonstration at an NTT research center. It sent a very low voltage electric current from the back of my ears through my head, either from left to right or right to left, depending on which way the joystick on a remote control was moved. I found the experience unnerving and exhausting. I sought to step straight ahead, but kept careening from side to side. Those alternating currents literally threw me off. The technology is called galvanic vestibular stimulation. Essentially, electricity messes with the delicate nerves inside the ear that help maintain balance. I felt a mysterious, irresistible urge to start walking to the right whenever the researcher turned the switch to the right. I was convinced mistakenly that this was the only way to maintain my balance. The phenomenon is painless but dramatic. Your feet start to move before you know it. I could even remote control myself by taking the switch into my own hands. Now, there's no proven beyond a doubt explanation yet as to why people start veering when electricity hits their ear, but Nippon Television or Telegraph and Telephone Corporation researchers say they were able to make a person walk along a route in the shape of a giant pretzel using this technique. It's a mesmerizing sensation similar to being drunk or melting into sleep under the influence of anesthesia, but it's more definitive, as though an invisible hand were reaching inside your brain. Now, Nippon says the feature may be used in video games and amusement park rides, although there are no plans so far for a commercial product. Some people really enjoy the experience, researchers said, while acknowledging that others feel uncomfortable. This is nuts, isn't it? Is it not nuts? Let's go to Clyde in Arvada. Good afternoon, Clyde. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Michael. I think this show you had today was probably the best one you've done. I've been listening to you off and on for probably 4 years, even when you were on the other network.
Thank you, Clyde.
Thank you. Couple things. First,
yeah.
I think it's always been understood, at least I've understood for quite a number of years, that when the church, when I realized about 20 years ago that the church that Jesus Christ had founded at best has been neutralized, and at worst, I think much of it has bolted to the same side these people are on.
Right.
That's when I began to realize that just having studied Scripture quite a bit and prayed and thought and pondered and things like that and kept doing research and reading books, that's when I realized that there's virtually no chance, to be very honest with your listeners, no chance that this can be stopped at this stage. And you probably would not totally agree with that, which is okay.
Yeah.
And here's the two reasons why. If you go back in history and you find, you do any research into any civilizations that you wanted to, not even, just take the post-Christian era. What happens is that with the Protestant Reformation, they basically had a very similar type of corrupt system within the Roman Church at that time. It's very similar. It was a criminal enterprise, essentially, because they were stealing people's lands in Europe and other places and placing them in as church property, making them converting them into church property. I mean, it was just overt and out in the open, and everybody knew about it. And that's part of really what caused the Protestant Reformation. True, there were theological problems, and true, but it's that the church itself was the government, and they had corrupted and turned into basically a criminal enterprise. Now, what has happened in America is a very similar thing. The government that once was based upon some semblance of law-abidedness, whatever you want to call that, a legal, lawful government, has been turned into a criminal enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And so the criminal enterprise, one thing about the criminal enterprise for most human beings, and I think the reason why we're not seeing much resistance to this, is true that I think most of the church has bolted to the other side.
No, I think they've all been infiltrated.
Yes. And secondly, because in history, if you look, based upon the Protestant Reformation, the only people who will raise any question about this, pretty much, I'd say 90%, are people who have some kind of semblance of loyalty first. In other words, they haven't yet totally, and not that we haven't individually, but at least we haven't totally been in an act of total and complete treason or rebellion to God.
Right.
Those are the only people. Now, most of those people now, I think in this situation in America, are probably totally unaware of what Indira and you and many programs you've had have talked about. However, the criminal enterprise at some point, just like in the days of the church and other Roman empires, it has to come out at some point and show its true colors.
And it will.
Yes.
I think
and
it's
what's
close.
Happening is it's coming out and showing its true colors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what makes the difference between this and the Roman Empire just cut people's head off.
Right.
Or crucified them or whatever. And the church just burned them at the stake. What's different now is that the actual technology is available to control literally every aspect of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why when I called you yesterday, people call in with so many false hopes about what is the only last hope. And the only last hope I want to tell people is Jesus Christ. There is no other
hope. Well, that's
hope
and that's absolutely correct.
And so we need to resist this evil. We need to make people aware. We need to talk to people. We need to support your program and the station. We need to do what we can. But let's have no delusions that kind of a corrupt system is going to be turned around, because people, Michael, have been planning this for America since day one.
You bet.
You take care.
Yeah, you too, Clyde. Thank
Bye-bye.
You for your call. Bye-bye. Okay, we are going to take the break real quick. Brad and Loveland, stay put. I got two more paragraphs I want to read from this article, the real meat of this thing and what they're really planning on doing with it when we come back from the break. Open lines until the end of the hour. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to A Closer Look. We'll be right back.
Thursday, November 3rd will be a special day here at A Closer Look. Over the past 480-plus shows, we've...
Closer Look. Again, lines are open. We're going to take calls right up to the end of the program today. 877-424-4111, 877-424-4111. If you're calling from outside the Denver Metro calling area, inside the Denver Metro calling area, 303-423-0188. Before I go to Brad real quick, let me just finish this article. Again, I'm reading an article that was in Fox News. October 26th, Yuri Kugiyama is the writer of it. He's talking about his own personal experience with Nippon Telephone and Telegraph, or whatever it was, company in Japan. And this is the real, to me, this is the real meat. Timothy Hollar, assistant professor at the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, believes finding the right way to deliver an electromagnetic field to the ear at a distance could turn the technology into a weapon for situations where, quote, killing isn't the best solution, end quote. He says this would be the most logical situation for a non-lethal weapon that presumably would make your opponent dizzy. If you find just the right frequency, energy, duration of application, you would hope to find something that doesn't permanently injure someone but would allow you to make someone temporarily off balance. Well, indeed, a small defense contractor, read that, okay? Indeed, a small defense contractor in Texas, Invocon Incorporated, is exploring whether precisely tuned electromagnetic pulses could be safely fired into people's ears to temporarily subdue them. Isn't that wonderful? You know, temporarily subdue them. Oh, boy. It's like being in a bad science fiction movie. Let's go to Brad in, let's see, where are you? Brad Loveland, good afternoon. You're on the air.
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
You were talking earlier on your program about control of the media and so forth.
Right.
I want to mention a headline in today's Reporter Herald that says, Cheney daughter gets job at AOL. I found that rather interesting.
Is that the lesbian daughter?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Her functions, I guess, will include core functions, search engines, and so forth. And due to privacy company issues, they don't... mention her salary or when she'll start or which plant she'll start at, but I thought that was interesting to say the least.
Absolutely. But, here's the thing. The Internet is a wonderful thing, but I really do suspect, and again, you know, have you ever heard of digital rights management?
No, I have not.
Okay. Digital rights management is a concept, and I've been meaning to do a show on it for a couple of years, and I've just never been able to get to it, but herein lies the problem. You know, they're making all kinds of analog things go away. Radio, for example, it's broadcast over analog signal over the air, and that's how you get it. Television, radio, et cetera, things like that. Everything's going digital, which is a whole different animal. And in digital technology, you can have encryption. What better way to completely lock down the free access to information than to attach a license to every little piece of data or bit that you download? They can essentially control you even better than they can now. And see, this is the thing. AOL, and this is my opinion, so I want the lawyers at AOL to understand, this is my opinion. I've always heard rumors that AOL was a creature of the CIA in Alexandria, Virginia, and that ultimately, you know, where they're going to go with this, because you watch how these companies move. These companies are moving into into the age of digital technology, and you know they're big, they're consolidating, they're buying up the small guy, and I think that it's interesting that Cheney's daughter got a job there.
I thought it was very illuminating, to say the least.
Absolutely,
they kind of like to keep it in the family, and so I thought this might be on the front page. It's on the second page, and it's a very short article. There's only three columns, 2 inches long each, and that's all it says.
Well, that's that is very interesting. It doesn't surprise me, but it should be, I think, an alarming thing, because once again, we're seeing all kinds of strange machinations and movements on our political scene and how it relates. I mean, hey, Reagan was the beginning. Reagan was the guy that kicked off the ball into motion and introduced corporate fascism. We're privatizing the government. We're giving it to Halliburton. We're giving it to Choice Point and all these technological companies, these defense contractors, who, of course, share among their CEOs, interlocking groups and guys that walk back and forth between different doors wearing different hats. They wear the military hat, then they're wearing the corporate hat. You know, it's like one big orgy. And I think ultimately, again, where it goes is they want to lock down our ability to call them on their game.
Well, I think I'm going to go back to two Dixie cups and a string and watch my string.
Well, you know what? As long as you can keep, I'm not saying that digital is a bad thing, but I think we should really kind of take a really long, hard look at what it can do and make sure that we don't do away with some of the older technologies. I mean, I had a guy point out to me one time. We're about out of time. I just want to bring this up real quick. I had a guy point out to me one time, what would you do if, there was an EMP and everything that you owned has a chip in it, which it does almost now, your watch, okay? What would you do if there was an EMP? Would you even be able to know what time it is? We have gotten rid of all of the so-called archaic technology that we used to rely on. And, I think that should be something that people should consider. You know what I'm saying?
I looked into recently the GPS instrumentation.
Yeah.
And thought to myself, I'd be a little smarter if I tried to navigate celestially by the stars.
Yeah.
And a compass. That way I would never need a battery.
Right, or a sextant.
Yeah, I could never be shut down.
Yeah.
So hey, there you have it.
We're out of time. Hey, thanks for your call.
Thank you, sir.
All right. You guys have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. Until then, I'm Michael Corbin telling you to take a closer look.